Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's January 6, 2014.
Wow.
Snow, storm, high winds, freezing temperatures. Stay home if you can. Certainly drive slowly, leave early, be well prepared, dressed warm, and be conscientious of the ice on the roads and whether you should even be traveling for the next day or two as our county and city workers do their best to get the streets cleared. I know many schools are closed and various events have been canceled, so call first. Lord willing, I'll have Pastor Jason Schiffo on the Tuesday and Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. He was going to be with me today, but I'm pulling out a special feature called Making Right Choices by author and speaker and radio host Elizabeth George. She'll talk about setting goals for this new year, redeeming your time by making right choices, getting focused, and submitting, surrendering, and following God's leading in this new year. Here's Elizabeth George, and thanks for being a part of this, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends.
This is Elizabeth George. Time is a perishable. You can let it slip through your fingers, wasting it, or you can redeem it by making right choices.
Making Right Choices. Welcome to a New Year's special with author Elizabeth George, heard daily on her radio feature, A Woman After God's Own Heart. It's her passion to bring God's Word in a way that will change your life. And a great place to begin the new year is Making Right Choices.
If you've never kept a journal, I would highly recommend you start one with this new year. Since before I was a young teenager, when my parents gave me a diary complete with its own lock and key, I've kept a journal. And to this day, I have certain dates I transfer each year to my new calendar. My wedding anniversary, birthdays, even the dates when Jim and I moved to a new home or location. And then there's the monumental date, the date I became a Christian. But there's one other day that was utterly life-changing, August 21st, 1974. It was just another Sunday afternoon, but on that particular one, Jim and I sat down together with our little ones napping, and we each wrote some significant lifetime goals. We'd been a Christian family for only a few years, and we were loving our new journey with Jesus. We were so excited, but we felt that we needed to get a better focus on this amazing new life in Christ. So we prayed for God's wisdom and guidance, and then set some general and specific goals for our growth and for our family, and especially our service to God. From those few hours on that lazy Sunday afternoon, we formulated a set of goals that we've each operated by for more than 30 years. I have to admit, my goals have never changed. As we defined our purposes and wrote out our objectives, we began to simplify our focus in life and whittled it down to our activities to fit into the targeted areas. And these many years later, we're still focused on those same goals, those choices we made so many years ago. To live with purpose means to focus your heart, time, your energies, and your priorities. It calls for taking advantage of each day, not only to help others, but also to prepare for future ministry. Then, when ministry choices present themselves, you'll find yourself ready. What can you do today to prepare for the opportunities waiting for you? Pray over it, then do it. It's difficult at times for us as Christian women to know our purpose. There are just so many voices shouting at us, aren't there? And each one presents us with a choice. But God's Word makes our purpose completely clear. His voice rises above the clamor of the opinions and advice others have for you. The good news is that God doesn't ask us to do 1,000 things or even 100 things. He only asks us to focus on essentials that help us fulfill His grand purpose for us as women who love Him, as women who love and serve others, and who reflect His heart to the world. Titus 2, 3-5 gives us that list. Be godly in your behavior, Be truthful and kind in your speech. Be disciplined and self-controlled. Be a teacher and encourager of good things. Be devoted to your children. Be discreet and wise in your actions. Be chaste and pure inside and out. Be focused on your home. Be kind and good to all.
I look back and what was I thinking? I missed a whole decade of my life because of choices I made. Bad ones.
I don't even want to think about it. Let's order lunch.
So what are you struggling with or facing that calls for better choices? In these minutes we have together, I'll share some steps you can take to live out your choices God's way. One timeless principle, a choice you can make right now, is to know your priorities. And God is to be your ultimate priority. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things in your life will fall into place." Give God your early time each day before the family is up and the day along with your time gets all used up. This is so important, and it has choice written all over it. Give Him your first time, the first fruits of each new and glorious God-given day. If you're married, your time with your husband is next in importance. Did you think I'd say it was your children? Oh no, it's your husband. He's a gift from the Lord. Thank God for him and take seriously the assignment God's given you to love your husband and to serve him. Yes, serve him as your choice. It was said of the woman in Proverbs 31 that she does her husband good and not evil all the days of her life. Your children, they're your next priority. Your time with your little ones during those growing up years go by so quickly. But don't miss out on that season. And don't stop giving time to your children after they leave the nest. Don't stop with your children. Your grandchildren need as much of your time as you gave to them. And what about your parents and your sisters and brothers? You've already gone through a lot together in the growing up time. So keep in contact with them if it's at all possible. Make them a significant part of your life and your children's lives as well. And this just may be the hardest priority of all. It's difficult for so many women, finding time and taking time, choosing to take time for yourself. I'll give that just a second to sink in. As difficult as it is to admit it's okay, it's crucial if you're going to bless others. You need the rest, the rejuvenation, if your desire is to reach out to others. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Be sure you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And without those times of pulling aside, those times of getting off by yourself, spending time with God, you can't possibly be there in ways you choose to serve others. And to do that takes some planning. Spend a short time every day thinking and praying about not only today, but tomorrow. Plan your day. On a job, someone else is demanding 8+ hours of your time, so you have to know how you're going to manage the remaining hours. You may be highly efficient, and I hope you are, but are they the right things, the best things, God's priority things? What can you eliminate from your life at this particular season that's not a priority? Making the choices you need to make for change. The call is yours. The rest of your life is ahead of you, however long that may be. So make sure you're living out God's plans during those minutes and hours and days and years. Manage your life God's way. Then take the time for every God-given opportunity that your today's and tomorrow's hold. Let's get started. Ask God for His guidance and His plan for the use of your time. It's His to begin with, isn't it? Prayer is so key to making right choices. Prayer will lift your life out of the physical and put it into the spiritual. It'll move your heart to accept God's will for your life. Prayer will line up your desires with God's plan for you. So pray. Pray when you get up. Pray when you plan your work, your day. Pray that your work will bless the people you work with. Then pray when you're done. Prayer sweetens and empowers every task, every goal. Then, as Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. With your prayer life up and ready, make this the year you choose to invest in your husband, in your marriage. My husband Jim and I acknowledge 100% that our 40-plus year marriage is only attributed to God's grace and His power. When we think of the bumpy beginnings of our marriage, we can only fall before Him in complete thanksgiving. I laugh to myself when I think of everything we did, a lot of it the hard way. But once we discovered in the Bible what God had to say about marriage, oh, wow, what an eye-opener it was. From that point on, we tried to follow God's principles for a married couple. So let me share 10 principles that we found for a better marriage. And guess what? All 10 require a choice. Number 1, work as a team. Teamwork in a marriage requires you and your husband to take up your tandem roles of leading and following. It makes a marriage work. 2, learn to communicate. Oh, communication is tricky on any level, often more so between a husband and wife. But keep in mind, communication with your husband isn't like talking with your sister, mother, or your girlfriends. Pay attention to time. When's the best time to talk? Pay attention to tone. What's the best tone of voice? I love Proverbs 16:24. It works for both of you. Pleasant words are health to the bones. 3, enjoy intimacy. It's a gift from God. 4, manage your money. This area of finance creates an opportunity to practice patience, to grow in your trust in God, and to keep good communication with your spouse. And it sure helps if you're content. It enables you to go a long way in the money department. 5, keep up your home. The condition of the place you live in, it sends a loud message to friends and neighbors, to say nothing about your own family's comfort. 6, raise your children. It's a subject that can be an issue of potential friction, especially if you're in a blended family. The goal is to know what the Bible says about child raising, talking it over, and agreeing on a plan. 7, my favorite, make time for fun. Make it a point to make time for fun. What's fun for you and your husband? Talk about what you enjoy doing together, then do it. 8, serve the Lord. Nothing is more healthy for a couple than serving the Lord together. And even if your husband isn't a believer or isn't interested in church, there are things you can do together for others that will bind you closer as a couple. 9, open your heart and open your home in hospitality to others. It's a great way you can demonstrate Christ's love to all who enter your doors. And number 10, grow in the Lord. The greatest influence you can have on your marriage is to choose to grow spiritually. As you grow in the Lord and as a wife after God's own heart, you grow in the support you give your husband, in your availability to listen, to encourage him, and even to give wise counsel. Even if you have a difficult marriage or a difficult time, your growth in the Lord will give you the wisdom to handle those problems. Read these scriptures that I'm giving you over and over and memorize them and put them in your heart. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. Ephesians 5:33. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. Do you see the choice in that verse? And 1 Corinthians 7:3 is a husband's choice. Let the husband give to his wife the affection due her. So, let's talk about raising your children. There's so many choices. The Bible says to teach your children. I once counted at least 20 times where there was some form of parental teaching mentioned in the book of Proverbs. Perhaps the most well-known verse in raising children is Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We think of that in terms of a parent training a child properly and that child choosing the path of God in later life. There are exceptions, but the principle still stands. We moms obediently, by faith, train our children, and we train them first in God's way. And from that point on, we also train them in their talents and individual bents. No matter what the obstacles, no matter what the lack of payoff, no matter how tired you are or how tedious it is, no matter if all your best efforts seem to be making no difference, your heart must be obedient, must be full of faith, and must be dedicated to the Lord and to your family. And for many of us, the hardest part is your choice to discipline your children. There's no way to miss the message in the Bible. Proverbs shouts to all parents, to spare the rod means hating the child, but discipline is a showing of love for your child. It's hard to follow through, and oh boy, do I know that. But we do our children a disservice when we choose not to discipline them. We're choosing to raise a fool. To sentence a child to a life of uncontrolled emotions, stupidity, harsh consequences. Teaching, training, instructing, and disciplining sounds like a lifelong challenge, doesn't it? And it is. I have something to say to you as a mother of two married daughters and a grandmother of eight. Only it's not from me, it's from God. In Titus 2:3-4, God says to women like you and me, as the older women in the church, we're to teach and encourage the young women to love their children. God is calling those of us who are older, wiser, more experienced, to pass on what we know about raising children.
You're listening to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends with the New Year's special with author, speaker, Elizabeth George, making right choices by living out God's plan for your life, God's way. Lord willing, if the temperatures drop and the snow gets plowed, we'll have co-host Pastor Jason Schiffel in on Tuesday and Wednesday, Joey on Thursday, and then Jason again on Friday. We'll see how that all works out. But for now, we'll return to more comments and remarks by Elizabeth George.
It's a new year of growing in Christ, a time of making right choices every day. No one has to tell you that discipline in every area of life is crucial. You already know that discipline is important for what it produces in you, spiritual growth, personal accomplishment, well-being. But discipline is also important for what it produces in you that's seen by others, and it changes them. You are a model, an example. And whether you like it or not, others are watching the choices you make. Make it your goal, your choice, to live out God's plan. If your little faults aren't avoided or dealt with today, you can be sure they'll grow and be harder to deal with tomorrow. So here's the secret. Long-lasting change begins with the tiniest of decisions made consistently day after day. Focus your attention on a habit, a weakness, an excuse. Look to the Lord for His strength, and then discipline yourself to forsake your little faults. Believe me, little steps and small changes will add up to much. Do you want to live God's plan? It's a crucial question, one you must answer if any change is to occur. 2 Peter 1:5-6 says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. Just about every day I receive an email or a phone call from someone who says, I've always wanted to write a book. What advice can you give me? And my answer is always the same. Write the book. Oh, I admit that there are a lot of steps that go into getting a book published, but that first step is always the same. Write the book. Until the book is written, it's only a dream. And what does it take? Diligence. Staying with it until it's finished. It takes work. It takes action. And staying with something for millions of minutes, thousands of hours, hundreds of days, scores of weeks. Well, I'm sure you're getting the picture. But diligence is a major theme in the Bible, especially in the book of Proverbs. Diligence affects finances. Proverbs 10:4 says, "The hand of the diligent makes rich." Proverbs 14:23, "In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty." Proverbs 27:23-24 is good counsel. "Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds, for riches are not forever." Making right choices. It's what we're talking about today. It's what we're focusing on in this new year. Don't choose to live your life in a waiting mode. Our days are numbered, a number that only God knows. So live each day to the hilt, to the max. When you do, there's a new energy, a new direction, a new diligence. You'll realize each day and minute of your life is a gift from God. That means God intends you to manage your time and your life for Him and for His purposes. Like Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 4:2, that you be faithful. What being diligent does not mean is this. It does not mean running at a frantic pace. No, it means pursuing a fruitful pace from start to finish. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like life's demands are bombarding me on all fronts. And every assault calls for something from me, a word, an answer, a judgment call, an action, a choice. You have to decide what to think or not think, what to say or not say, ask or let lie, work on or wait on. How do you get the wisdom to do it all? How do you know the choices you're to make? How do you know God's plan for your life? Ask God. Ask Him for His wisdom. Solomon shows us the right thing to ask for. In 1 Kings 3:5, God asks him, "What shall I give you?" And Solomon answered, "Give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil." God was pleased with Solomon's request. He said to Solomon, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, have not asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you." Then God added a bonus for Solomon. "And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days." Solomon became the wisest man who ever lived, other than Jesus Christ. God blessed him, and God will bless you. So desire wisdom, pray for wisdom, seek wisdom, grow in wisdom. Getting to know Jesus by reading the Bible will give you the knowledge you need to make wise decisions, better choices. The Lord has a plan for your life, a grand plan. And as you search the Scriptures, you're perfected and prepared for that grand plan. You take on the heart of Jesus and the qualities He possessed as you're conformed to His image through His Word. Matthew 7:7-8 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Wisdom doesn't come overnight, but you can accelerate your progress by making the choice to get wisdom. And the first step is to desire it. Proverbs 3:13-14 says, "Happy is the woman who finds wisdom and gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold." Pray for wisdom. Proverbs 2:3-5 says, "Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Seek wisdom, as it says in Proverbs 2:4, "Seek it as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures." Then trust God's wisdom. Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Making right choices. It's what being a woman after God's own heart is all about.
Thank you for joining us today for Making Right Choices, a New Year special with author Elizabeth George.
Well, I hope you are blessed by this special feature as we're launching into this new year. Wow, January 6th already. I have a lot to say and share in the coming days. If you've noticed some of the posts on my Facebook account, there's been some major surprises and changes in my life. Thank you, God, for a special gift He's given to me. Thank you, God, for this Elizabeth George and these various proverbs and the wisdom that God desires all of us to have as we call on Him. Making Right Choices, a special feature by Elizabeth George. Let's all redeem our time, everyone, by getting focused, setting goals, and having God involved in all aspects of our lives. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.